Act IV, Scene 1. The happening in this scene. Prospero speaks words of comfort to Ferdinand, who has been undergoing the labor of peeling off the locks of wood. Prospero now feels convinced of the genuineness of Ferdinand's love for Miranda, and he agrees to have Miranda married to him in due course. However, Prospero at the same time warns Ferdinand against a premature gratification of his passion for Miranda. Ferdinand gives Prospero a solemn assurance in this respect. Prospero then gives Ariel an order to bring a large crowd of students whom he needs for a particular purpose. In accordance with Prospero's order, Iris, the goddess of the rainbow, who is also the messenger of Jupiter's wife Juno, appears. Iris then summons Chaos, the goddess of the earth and of agriculture. Then Juno arrives, and both Circes and Juno blush, the couple who are to be married. Next, Iris summons a number of nymphs and the reapers who stage a dance. Ferdinand feels delighted and thrilled by this gay and impressive spectacle which Prospero has presented for Ferdinand's and Miranda's entertainment. Suddenly, however, Prospero feels perturbed. He has remembered Caliban's plot against his life. He then dismisses the spirits who were playing the roles of goddesses and nymphs, and asks Ferdinand and Miranda to excuse him because he wants to be alone for a little while. Then he proceeds to deal with the three culprits who had formed a scheme to murder him. Under Prospero's orders, the three culprits are chased, harassed, and beaten by a number of spirits disguised as dogs and hounds. The importance of the mosque in this scene. The scene has threefold importance. Firstly, Prospero has agreed to the marriage of his daughter Miranda with Ferdinand. This is what Prospero had all along wanted. Here, the mutual love of Ferdinand and Miranda almost ends here. Secondly, the rich entertainment provided by Prospero to his would-be son-in-law has its own importance. An entertainment of this kind presented by Prospero to Ferdinand and Miranda here is known as a mosque. A mosque was in Shakespeare's time a kind of dramatic entertainment consisting of dances and singing. It was an entertainment in which the spectacular and musical element predominated over plot and character. This kind of entertainment was very popular at the royal court and among the nobles of the time. Shakespeare introduced a mosque of King James I to celebrate the marriage of his daughter Elizabeth. Shakespeare therefore introduced Ferdinand and Miranda to represent Elizabeth and her would-be husband, while this mosque was introduced to entertain the royalty and nobility of the time. The end of another subplot. Thirdly, another subplot in the play also ends in this scene. This subplot pertains to the conspiracy hatched by Caliban against Prospero's life. The three conspirators here receive the punishment which they really deserved, and this punishment is also imposed upon them by Prospero by means of supernatural powers. By the end of this scene, we find that some of the sources of interest in this play have already reached their final stage. What remains now is for Prospero to deal with the original enemies, namely Alonso, Sebastian, Antonio, and this will occupy the whole of Act V. The supernatural character of the mosque. The supernatural atmosphere of the play as a whole receives a great emphasis in the scene. In the preceding scene also, we had observed the importance of the supernatural in this play. In this present scene, the presentation of the mosque reinforces the supernatural effect. In fact, the mosque is one of the high points of interest in this play, and the mask is wholly supernatural. Hilarious comedy with farcical elements. Nor can we ignore the comic elements in the scene. Once again, it is Caliban, Stefano, and Trinculo who provide the fun and mirth for us. Stefano is a still drink, and so are the other two. All three are wet because they have been dancing in a stinking pool of water in the drunken condition. Stefano has lost his bottle of wine in the pond, and both Stefano and Trinculo are lamenting the loss of the precious leak. Caliban now asks Stefano to enter Prospero's cell and put Prospero to death. However, Trinculo draws Stefano's attention to Gaudy garments which had been hung up on a line by Ariel under Prospero's instructions. Tempted by the gaudy garments, which are actually worthless stuff, Stefano forgets, ready to meet the threat from these fellows. When Stefano and Trinculo are gloating over the garments which they have found, Prospero orders his spirits to change themselves into dogs and hounds and to haunt the three plotters out of sight. Furthermore, Prospero orders Ariel to go and ask his goblins to impose all kinds of torments upon the three fellows. All this is hilarious comedy, and there is plenty of fuss in it too. An important passage about transience of this world. There is one very important passage in this scene. It's a speech by Prospero. After the spirits playing the roles of goddess, nymphs, and reapers have disappeared, Prospero tells Ferdinand that the spirit who were playing those roles who have now melted into the thin air, and Prospero then goes on to say that his whole world with his grand and gorgeous buildings and mansions, and this globe itself will also one day dissolve and leave not a trace behind Prospero than ours. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our life and our little life is rounded with a sleep. Here we have the very essence of wisdom, because the world in which we live is really an illusion. The world which seems to be so solid and so durable is actually a transient affair. Nothing will last here. It's a sobering thought which Prospero here conveys to us by comparing human existence to a dream. The lines expressing this thought are well known and are often quoted. Prospero as a moralist. Prospero in this scene appears also as a moralist. In urging Ferdinand to abstain from sexual indulgence with Miranda before the ceremony of marriage has formally taken place, he is doing something which any sensible father would do to safeguard the welfare and honor of the daughter. Prospero knows that under the stress of passion, a young man is likely to throw caution to the winds, and that under the stress of passion, a young girl is likely to surrender to the pleading and importunities of a lover. Prospero's advice to Ferdinand in this respect is therefore not something gratuitous or something uncalled for. This advice is in the best interest of the two lovers, and it has a message for all young readers too. We must not therefore minimize the ethical value of this scene, although some readers are likely to think that Prospero is an unduly fussy parent. Prospero is in fact teaching young lovers the lesson of self-control and self-restraint, and it's a valuable lesson. Prospero's well-worded comment upon Caliban's character. We have to note also Prospero's apt comment upon Caliban's character, which occurs in this scene. Speaking to himself after Ariel has gone away to carry out a certain task, Prospero thus comments upon Caliban, "A devil, a born devil, on whose nurture can never stick, on whom my pains, humanly taken all lost, quite lost, and as with ease his body uglier grows, so his mind cankers." Okay, the importance of Ariel's role. A word about Ariel's performance in this scene is also necessary. Apart from his brief dialogue between Prospero and Ferdinand at the beginning of the scene, the entire action of the scene is governed by Ariel's manipulations. It's who makes all the arrangements for the presentation of the mosque. It is he who lures the three plotters, namely Caliban, Stefano, and Trinculo, into the stinking pond through thorny bushes and prickly shrubs. It's who hangs the gaudy garments on line, and it is he who goes to give orders to the goblins to attack the three plotters. Of course, Ariel does all this under Prospero's instructions, but Ariel's importance in doing all this cannot be ignored. Ariel is an instrument of Prospero's will, but he is an indispensable instrument. Act B, Scene 1. Plot developments. Prospero now tells Ariel that his only purpose had been to make the sinner realize and to repent of their misdeeds. He then bids Ariel release the three sinners, namely Alonso, Sebastian, and Antonio, from his magic spell and to guide them to his cell. When Ariel is gone, Prospero makes a speech announcing his decision to give up his supernatural powers and to renounce his magic. Alonso and his companions are then brought by Ariel to appear before Prospero. All the three sinners are in a distracted state of mind. Prospero thanks Gonzalo but castigates the three sinners. He informs them all that he is Prospero, the Duke of Milan, whom his own brother Antonio had deposed. Prospero assures them of all of them that he is no phantom but the original Duke of Milan. In the meantime, Ariel has brought the other three evil doers, namely Caliban, Stefano, and Trinculo, also to this place. Prospero points out to Alonso that two of these three men are of Alonso's own party, while the third, namely Caliban, is a native of this island. Finally, Prospero, having forgiven all his enemies, tells them that on the following day they would all sail for Naples, where the ceremony of the marriage of Ferdinand and Miranda would duly be performed. Afterwards, Prospero would go back to Milan in order to take the charge of his duties as the Duke, and there he would spend the rest of his life preparing himself for his grave. Repentance and forgiveness. Prospero's entire project was now nearly been completed. His enemies are completely in his power, and they have been rendered utterly helpless. Prospero now decides to renounce his supernatural powers and the practice of magic. Then follows that all along has been Prospero's real purpose. All the three sinners are made to realize the sin which they had committed in driving Prospero and his infant daughter out of Milan and exposing them to the dangers of the sea and the sky. All the three are made to feel ashamed of their misdeeds, and Prospero then forgives them all. But their amazement and their bewilderment still continue, because they are not able to understand how Prospero had managed to survive all the dangers of the sea, and how he has remained still alive. Prospero promises to explain the whole mystery to them in due course. Alonso feels delighted to see his son Ferdinand alive and enjoying the company of the young lady, who seems to Alonso to be a goddess of the island. Miranda, on her part, feels amazed to see so many handsome human beings. Her reaction to the strange sight of so many human beings whom she has seen for the first time is expressed in the following memorable words: "How many goodly creatures are there here! How beauteous mankind is! O brave new world that has such people is not." The epilogue. The play ends with an epilogue which is spoken by Prospero, and in which Prospero appeals to the audience in the theater to encourage him and the other actors by clapping with their hands and applauding their performance. The final effect of play upon us. The Tempest is certainly an entertaining play, but it is more instructive than entertaining. This is a play with an enormous moral and ethical appeal. The supernatural powers of Prospero are not likely to move the mature readers to any great extent, because these powers are divorced from the realities of life. Only the young reader might find something to excite him in these powers, The young reader would find the love affair of Ferdinand and Miranda interesting too. But the rest of the play would appeal only to the mature elderly readers who will find in it much that corresponds to his own experiences in life.